Welcome back. It's a Tuesday, the 30th day of April, 2024. I'm your host, Mark Hall. And like it or not, folks, we need to start off today with a story that I really don't want to do. It's just so hideously wrong on so many levels. But certainly, among other things, it leads to the topic of the conspiracy theories that have been proven so real for so long that are now playing out beyond most people's imaginations, but not what they're eventually going to see. Here we go. And this is the essential common headline you're going to hear from the left stream all day long until, of course, they get their way. And it's time for the next propaganda wave in the news cycle. Charlotte shooting. Four officers killed, four others wounded trying to serve warrant. U.S. Marshals among those killed. Says the Daily Mail's graphic headline with lots of video and the usual lots of pictures. Officer Joshua Iyer, who was shot dead alongside three U.S. Marshals in a bloody standoff with a gunman, as dramatic video shows the moment SWAT teams rammed the suspect's house with a huge tank, and they put that in all caps, and launched their raid. Yes, it was a melee. There were shots fired. It sounded like Vietnam, said some of the neighbors. And it was a circus, folks, with more cops and cars and tanks than you can, well, I would have said possibly imagine, but no, now you're just going to have to get used to it. Because I suggest, being a conspiracy theorist from way back, that this is precisely what's been anticipated, planned, and you're going to see a lot more of. And how do we know that? Well, not just the coverage. We've been seeing the build-up to this and the hype for quite a while now. And it's already being spun exactly like every conspiracy theorist out there has long said it would. But what's telling is not only the uniformity of the coverage, literally every story says almost the same thing word for word, it's also the things that used to be part of Journalism 101 that you're not hearing. And I actually read about a dozen different waste, well, not really that different, waste stream media stories trying to find out the information that evidently they don't want you to know. Like who and what, and much less why. This one from AP is typical, if not prototypical. Quote, four law officers, sick, serving a warrant for a felon wanted for possessing a firearm. Ooh, there you go. That's key. Were killed and four other officers wounded in a shootout Monday at a North Carolina home, said police. Whose home? Well, they're not going to tell you. Some of the officers who rushed to the Charlotte neighborhood to rescue the first wave of downed officers were wounded as a second shooter began firing on them after they killed the wanted man, said the Charlotte-Mecklenburg police chief, Johnny Jennings. And interestingly, I gotta wonder, what was the wanted man who was so deadly doing out in the front yard while they were allegedly trying to serve this warrant? Something here doesn't quite wash. We'll skip the pabulum that you expect to hear at every news conference after a high-profile shooting of people who are better than you and therefore deserving of coverage, because it's a blue uniform that matters, folks, not nearly so much your God-given, once constitutionally protected rights. Now, let's get this straight up front, and I hope I don't have to repeat it, and it really doesn't need to be repeated, but it's a tragedy when anyone is murdered, even a real felon. And that includes teenagers killed by lethal injections in their so-called schools, or young kids murdered by illegal invaders, especially after they're raped or worse, and all the people that are killed every single day after being disarmed in gun-free killing zones. Am I upset and concerned when cops are killed? You bet. But not because they're better than you and more worthy of keeping and bearing arms than you. Oh yeah, and let's get this straight too. And not when they're violating their oaths and taking away your God-given rights and then get killed in the process. And if it's not clear, but it will be, I'm talking about the coming wave of red flag executions. And we're going to hear the drumbeat for that going through the roof as of today. And we know it. After a three-hour standoff, it says, the suburban Charlotte home was torn open. Armored vehicles smashed into it, ripping out windows and entire doorways that were left broken. Several armored vehicles were parked across yards, some with tree branches dangling from them. The task force, said the Daily Mail, made up of federal agents and other officers from across the region, was fired on by the wanted suspect as they approached the house, and that man, whatever he was, whoever he was, and whatever he was guilty of, was killed in the front yard, said Jennings. His name has not been released, but Chief said, well, all you need to know is, and he didn't put it that way, but I will, he was wanted as a felon possessing an illegal weapon. Or was it illegally possessing a weapon, or is it simply that shall not be infringed doesn't matter? A second person then fired on officers from inside the home, and later they found a high-powered rifle. Another one of those things, folks, that we're going to now see on Big Brother's ban list. A woman and a 17-year-old male, both unnamed, and we're not going to get a clue as to why they were there either, were found in the home after the standoff, but they're being questioned, said the police chief. Notice anything missing, folks? Yeah, I'll say it again. Who was the wanted man? What was the felony he was supposedly convicted of? Why were they deciding that it was worth killing a whole bunch of people to take this firearm from this guy now? Or was it just that we needed a distraction from the other parts of the news cycle? The U.S. Marshals Task Force, the stories say. And what task force? You're not going to find that out. Not from these sources, and not today. One of the better sources out there, though, the Gateway Pundit, at least has this early information. The Charlotte shooter has been identified as 39-year-old Terry Clark Hughes, Jr. They have a picture. And they also note that two females were arrested from the house, including the 17-year-old. And the police are now saying there may have been, there certainly was, a second shooter. So is it two females or a female and a 17-year-old boy? Or is it just that the press can't even tell the difference anymore between boys and girls, and they're proud of that? Now, let me make this clear, too. I'm not surprised to see contradictions and even mistakes in early coverage, but what I am a little bit concerned about is information that you would have thought would have been well-known, especially by local media, like if this guy was such a threat, and if he, in fact, was a wanted man, why weren't the locals aware of it? Why weren't the neighbors aware of it? And most importantly, what aren't they telling us? We can kind of guess. And why not? Instead, we're hearing this. The whorehouse that happens to be painted white says that the marionette in chief was awakened from his nap and briefed on the incident. And brief, I think, is the operative word, folks, given the intellect we're dealing with here. In a statement, the Biden Fuhrer then called the officers heroes who made the ultimate sacrifice and said, more must be done. And you know what that means, don't you? Already dancing on the graves, the Biden Fuhrer read the teleprompter, or was it just a note card he keeps handy in his front pocket, to again call on Congress to ban assault weapons and high-capacity magazines and anything else that the Constitution says shall not be infringed, and pass other so-called gun safety measures that really mean disarm the American people and finish the gang rape of the Bill of Rights, including, quote, universal background checks und the national red flag law that you will have or else. Which, if you think about it, folks, and you're not supposed to, is undoubtedly a really big part of how we got here. So let's summarize what we know now before they really spin out the already pre-prepped narrative. It is, without question, truly a tragedy that these officers were sacrificed on the altar of gun control. But you know how it is for the left. The ends always justify the means. And if a few peons have to die, even if they wear blue uniforms or badges, so be it. So be it. But if Big Brother and those who want you disarmed get their way, each bereaved family and those yet to come can at least rest assured that his sacrifice and death will be among the multitude in a continuing process that will finally achieve the ultimate totalitarian dream. All honest Americans who once believed in that Constitution and Bill of Rights thing are disarmed so that they can do the same thing to the rest of the Bill of Rights. Let's call this what it was, folks, yet another blood sacrifice. Why? So when we go door to door and sacrifice more police officers just exactly like this, we can have the escalation that we've been jonesing for that leads to scenes just like this all over the country. One thing's for sure, folks, this was a red flag, all right. Watch closely how this plays out, because it's just getting rolling, and it is absolutely, no doubt about it at this point, intended to be the first of many such. Well, okay, who am I kidding? Not the first. Not even the beginning of the middle, because we've seen it before. But by now, at least, we ought to recognize the pattern and be paying close attention because, as I said, we're absolutely going to see it again. Which takes me next, folks, to this. I think it's at least an interesting coincidence, especially since O'Keefe actually had it up first. James O'Keefe and his media organization that's been for a long time doing yeoman's work, revealing the insiders and what they actually think about the peons that they come to kill, steal, and destroy, has been teasing another of his blockbuster videos, this one with a fellow named Jason Beck, a Department of Defense employee, who asserts that firearms owners need to have their guns confiscated by force, by the National Guard, or hey, maybe by some U.S. Marshals task force. The DOD employee casually noted in the video that, quote, he would like to do some work on the state's monopoly on violence. When asked what the state's monopoly on violence actually meant, he replied, it's the idea that the state, the almighty state, your host would note, meaning the country, or at least what now passes for it, quote, is the only sort of legitimate purveyor of violence, unquote, says the ANP summary here by Eric Utter. Anyone feel a chill? Well, folks, if you didn't, take a look at the news today and ask yourself, isn't this amazing? Did you get the message? I can guarantee you the neighbors did. Guess who they think has the only possible monopoly on force? And they got it good and hard. And meanwhile, no surprise, criminal invaders are coming into the country and getting checks and bus tickets and, yeah, firearms, too, that you peons aren't allowed to have. Isn't that amazing? Do we see task forces deporting them or even putting them in jail after a murder or rape or a dozen? No wonder people are buying guns and the Fuhrer's minions need to up the ante and show them who's boss. And they're all backed by the Biden cartel and the, let me get this right here, the state's monopoly on violence. See, it's not even newsworthy when peons get killed, or a rancher in Arizona, for example, goes on trial for murder, and ultimately ends up losing his ranch because he dared to think he actually had a God-given, once constitutionally protected right to defend it. Back to James O'Keefe's latest here. Ask about that pesky Second Amendment protection of the individual right to keep and bear arms. Beck said, quote, I think we should repeal it. Well, at least he admits that it needs to be repealed, as opposed to, for example, just ignored like the Biden Fuhrer and Congress seem to intend to do. Repeal it and take them all away. You have to take them. He then said that the National Guard might need to be employed and that those in it would have to, quote, follow, get this, lawfully given order. Except, of course, an order to violate the God-given constitutionally protected rights of the American people is not even remotely lawful. But this is the kind of people that are drawing a paycheck, folks, from those who think they have a monopoly on violence. But this Big Brother employed traitor wasn't done yet. He spoke of another favorite communist socialist DNC idea, packing the Supreme Court, saying, quote, we need the majority on the court so that they can't stop any potential legislation intended to disarm the once free American populace. Let me ask it again, folks. Is it starting to become clear that more blood sacrifices are intended? I certainly hope that there'll be more and more real law enforcement who'll recognize what the real law is and say, the answer is not just no to tyranny, it's hell no, before they end up being sacrificed on the altar to Molech too. Which, folks, reminds me of an interesting quote. Edmund Burke is said to have said that the only thing necessary for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. I certainly consider that that is a warning to actual police officers who put their hand on a Bible before God and swore to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution against enemies foreign and, yep, take a look around, domestic. The Bible reminds us more than once that to whom much is given, much is expected, and that men are held to the words from their mouths, ultimately. But if you look that quote up, I guarantee you the first thing that you're going to see from Gulag and the other manipulated search engines is, did Edmund Burke really say that? No, he probably didn't really say that. Maybe the quote was misattributed. Well, you know, folks, I could care less. Yes, it's interesting that people like Edmund Burke and, yes, Thomas Jefferson and maybe John Stuart Mill and others said things that were similar, which isn't surprising at all. But the key is, they were all correct. And that truth is what really needs to be focused on, not arguing about whether or not the leftists want to expunge it from history. From Tyler Durden and Zero Hedge, tucked away in the $95 billion so-called military aid package to deprive the United States of a military, but let's send it all to Ukraine, Israel, and maybe a tidbit to Taiwan too, is a $3.5 billion slush fund, it says, to open new processing centers for Muslim invaders in what Senator Eric Schmidt described as a bid to, quote, supercharge, as if it wasn't already, mass migration from the Middle East. Not only, he said, did the foreign aid package, and he puts that in quotes, do nothing to secure our own borders, it included that $3.5 billion newly printed fiat bucks to supercharge mass migration from the Middle East. And among the other details, they're using these so-called refugee funds to expand mass migration routes from many African and especially Muslim countries. That's kind of make you wonder why we're not hearing about certain aspects of otherwise high-profile crimes now, doesn't it? But hey, wait, that's nothing new at all. And on the treason masquerading as legislation front, there's this as well, also from Zero Hedge, on the heels of the Biden Fuhrer last week signing into what now passes for law that latest $61 billion down the toilet, Volodymyr Zelensky, puppet from Ukraine on Sunday, indicated that he's working with the swamp on a, quote, bilateral security agreement that he said would last 10 years. Our goal, he said, is to make this agreement the strongest of all. And he said, we're also working on fixing specific levels of support for this year and the next 10 years, unquote. So basically, folks, even if they can't rig the upcoming election, and even if in spite of all their best efforts and they don't manage to kill the guy, Trump does somehow or other re-enter the Oval Office once again. No surprise here, really, right? his hands will be tied, and if he dares to say no to the continuing World War III funding effort, you know exactly what they're going to do, don't you? Oh, yeah, the impeachment articles are already written and stuffed in a drawer somewhere in the swamp. Even the increasingly leftist Wall Street Journal admitted it and put it this way. Ukraine's Western allies, they said some time ago, hope to discourage the Kremlin from thinking they can wait out the Biden-Fuhrer regime for a potentially, more sympathetic successor in the White House. Western officials, it continues, are looking for ways to lock in pledges of support and limit future governments, meaning Donald Trump's, abilities to backtrack amid fears in European capitals that, yes, quote, Donald Trump, if he recaptures the White House, would seek to scale back aid. All of this, noted Zero Hedge and Tyler Durden, is about Trump-proofing the swamp. Here's one that might otherwise be funny, too, if it wasn't so hypocritically satanic. The OnlyFans creator and TikTok star, known as Farah Khalidi. By the way, folks, the picture in the article shows that she's at least as cute as Stormy Daniels and no less buxom, has now admitted that the Biden-Fuhrer regime paid her to push what she called openly full-on political propaganda and asked her not to disclose that she was in fact advertising for the regime. Speaking with commentator Richard Hananiah, Khalidi said she'd been asked to boast about Ketanji Brown Jackson after that particularly brainless scumbag was nominated to the Supreme Court by the newly installed Biden-Fuhrer. Quote, I was doing full-on propaganda, she said, adding, the funny thing is, they're like, do not disclose this as an ad because technically it's not a product, so you don't have to disclose it's an ad. Basically, she continued, I think they just wanted, like, some edgy girl of color to just tell people, like when they nominated Ketanji Brown Jackson, they're like, can you say, as a person of color, you know, that you feel reflected? Unquote. And let me just note, folks, that Donald Trump is actually on show trial for a lot less than this. And isn't it funny? We haven't even been told just how much hush money Farah Khalidi got paid. Here's another quick story, absolutely no surprise whatsoever. A group of anti-Israel Hamas-supporting, and of course Soros-supported, it would seem, protesters, sick, at Columbia University, now they've turned violent, have seized the historic Hamilton Hall, smashing windows, unfurling their Intifada banner, and they're now refusing to leave, and their actions are being compared to the January 6th so-called insurrection. Although, folks, your cynical host can't help but suggest the FBI handlers didn't have to take as active of a role in this one. Protesters, it said in the Daily Mail coverage, stormed and occupied the building on the main campus of the Manhattan University after smashing their way into the school. And this after the 2 p.m. deadline Monday for protesters being told by the administration to leave or face suspension. Since their takeover was shared on social media, users have been trying to compare the scenes to the January 6th riots when Donald Trump supporters overran the U.S. Capitol, unquote, and what a crocky you-know-what. There were no cops inviting these folks in, and what do you bet the deep state isn't about to go after them with tongs and send them to the gulags either? Just ask Merrick Garland. This next item admittedly sounds like a story that I've been working up to for quite a while. It's definitely very clever, and it's from a site called discernreport.com and entitled Top 10 Signs That You Just Might Be an Obedience Idiot. And yep, they begin, an obedience idiot is someone who automatically believes authority figures and is easily brainwashed, gaslit, or otherwise duped by the corporate media to believe a vast array of false things. You probably know a lot of them, don't you? In fact, it says the mind of an obedience idiot is filled almost entirely with lies, having no anchor in truth or reality whatsoever. And probably almost everyone you know is an obedience idiot. Because the endless, merciless pounding of psychological operations, fear campaigns, and crisis governance has turned the vast majority of people into mindless compliance robots who go along with whatever absurd demand is placed on them by rogue governments, like, but not limited to, all pregnant women must receive their COVID vaccines. Or how about this one? All school children need to wear masks and be isolated from each other. They won't learn anything. Well, they will learn the one thing that Big Brother wants them to know, how to be a good little compliance idiot slave. Frighteningly, says the piece, obedience idiots rarely realize that that's what they are, obedience idiots. That's because the rational part of their mind has been either bypassed or nullified through careful fear engineering by the regime in power, which is why the following list might be helpful for certain people to self-diagnose their obedience idiocy quotient. if they dare. So here you go. The top 10 signs that you just might be an obedience idiot. Number one, you immediately take every vaccine shot pushed by the global pharma, big pharma, big brother, corporate media, authoritarian partnership, because you naively believe they want what's best for you. And you know, and you require, and no, you don't require any evidence of safety or efficacy. You certainly don't read the vaccine insert sheets, and you take the shots solely because you are, yeah, you know what. Number two, you keep all your assets in fiat currency, aka U.S. dollars, because you think alternative assets like gold, silver, even crypto are untrustworthy, while your U.S. dollars are losing at least 2%. While your U.S. dollars are losing, and this is only currently, folks, nearly 2% per month in purchasing power. For those that can't do math, that's over 24% annually. And they note you'll hold on to those dollars to the very end when they become totally worthless thanks to money printing, devaluation, and, hyperinflation. Number three, you hate Donald J. Trump because your emotional state is easily manipulated by the corporate media, which has conspired with the lying deep state to destroy Trump for years, and your emotions end up being fully controlled by the CIA-run corporate media. You've been programmed like a Pavlovian dog to invoke hatred at the sight of Trump. You know it's called. You probably don't even know it has a name, if you're one of those, and that would be Trump derangement syndrome. Number four, you use Gulag as your search engine. I guess that's enough said there. Number five, you've been brainwashed into thinking that, hey, we just talked about this, CO2, carbon dioxide, the molecule responsible for photosynthesis and literally all life on planet Earth, is in fact a danger to the planet. And you're opposed to warm, wet, lush, green planets in general, but this one in specific, because you believe that a cold, dead, lifeless orb with no CO2 in the atmosphere would somehow be better. You argue for the total destruction of Earth's biosphere and atmosphere while somehow thinking you are saving the planet. Number six, you celebrate the surveillance state because, say it with me, I have nothing to hide. And you gladly install all kinds of spy devices from Amazon and others in your home that listen to every conversation, control your life, and rat you out to Big Brother, whether you know it or not. Number seven, you have no idea that Joe Biden received at least $20 million in bribes from various foreign entities, including but not limited to the Ukraine, Communist China, and who knows how many others, because you only watch CIA-controlled corporate media, and they aren't reporting on the Biden crime cartel bribery scandal. And you also seem to think that Coke in the White House somehow has nothing to do with Hunter Biden. Number eight, you're dumb enough to literally believe that a man can become a woman by cutting off body parts that he doesn't seem to know what they're for. And you think men can get pregnant, too. You also even seem to think that a child can consent to having their genitals mutilated and sliced off in order to achieve gender affirmation status and gender health care. And you even think that government is the appropriate place to push the LGBTQIA+ cult agenda, like a form of twisted religion. And that probably means you despise Christianity and everything that has anything to do with the Bible on top of it. Number nine, you refuse to see the evil in anyone other, of course, than Donald Trump supporters or Christians. But on the other hand, you do believe that those in power, because they have good intentions, will always produce positive results, even if they gang rape the Bill of Rights, the Constitution, and the rule of law. Number 10, you support the tyrannical dictatorship in the Ukraine for all of the above reasons, and because you believe you are defending freedom, defending democracy, even though Ukraine's corrupt government has outlawed all opposition media, all opposing political parties, and yeah, even the concept of democracy, because after all, they're a puppet government installed by the anti-democratic, yeah, anti-constitutional too, U.S. regime. Among other things, the author suggests what your host has literally for years at this point, since even before I started doing shows like Come Out of Here, My People on this network, public cesspools and universities breed obedience idiots and destroy the ability to think independently. So for crying out loud, don't let them destroy your children or your grandchildren. And don't be deceived by the propaganda that you're being immersed in by the various ministries of truth, public-private partnerships, all. And that, of course, is at least a big part of what this new show is about. We've been warned that deception will abound. We're seeing that. And it's time to get practiced up to resist. Because, as I've said before, folks, they're not even trying to hide anymore what they intend to do. And it's here. Thanks for joining us, and may Yahuwah bless you and yours.